Okay, this is overwhelming in a wonderful way here. I think Caleb said there was what, 100? Oh, this one here, 100 to 150 young people at the conference here, and I'm looking out at all of you right now. It's tremendous. I come from a little assembly, and we would probably need all four or five of our assemblies just to be everyone that's here in this room. So this is special for me. I know it's been a wonderful 3 days of conference and meetings. And, I'm just thrilled to be here tonight and to look out. It's not really an awards ceremony tonight, but I want to say that you guys did an incredible job of portraying our Lord Jesus Christ. I was sitting in the back corner over here, and there was two women that came in from the band competition that they were doing out here. And they stood there for a good several minutes. I asked them to come in and sit down, but they stood there and they just kept saying, "Wow, wow, wow." It was beautiful hearing you sing back there. So, I just want to thank you all for that. Let's look to the Lord and ask him for his help, and we'll dive in. Our God and Father, we just thank you for these wonderful days that we've had over your word, these times of fellowship. We especially thank you for these young people. We pray for a special word, Lord Jesus, that would be an encouragement, that would be something that would motivate and exercise. We pray most of all that what is presented would be accurate, that there's anything that is not from you that would just fall by the way. Just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk a little bit about something that I was with a group of a few couples and about three or four single young men. This might have been 3 or 4 weeks ago. And we were talking about the Christian pathway and what it's like to be a Christian and the needs that we have in our Christian life. And one of the younger men, he spoke up and he said, I'm going to get my cheat sheet out here. He said, "I want to be content, but not satisfied. I want to be content, but not satisfied." And I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about that ever since he said those things to us. And I've really enjoyed mulling that over in my mind. And I want to talk a little bit about that with you tonight, about being content, but not being satisfied. Let's first read a couple verses in Philippians chapter 3. I'll just read it here. If you have a Bible, you can turn to it. Philippians 3 verse 13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." And then hold your finger there and go over to the next chapter, chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Philippians and verse 11 says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Okay, come back over to chapter 3 and verse 13, picking back up in there. So Paul has just said that he's learned to be content. And he says, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know, you young people probably hear this a lot, but you are in a day of tremendous distractions. In fact, if I could reference our brother Conrad Troyer, he had a young people's at a conference that we had Labor Day a year ago. I think it's maybe when the Claussens got married. But he told us that there are more distractions in one day, and we had it in this conference too. I can't remember who said it. More distractions in one day for you young people, for really all of us, than the common person 100 years ago had in their entire life. And I was just thinking about that when it comes to being content and what Paul was resting on here when he said in chapter 4, verse 11, when he said in respect of want, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." And he says whether he's abounding or whether he's abasing, whether he's rich or poor, he's content. And I want to encourage you young people in the simple things that you have to be content in what you know of the Lord, and not to be satisfied. What is Paul saying here in chapter 3? He says that he's pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. What does that mean? What does that mean? You know, if I could kind of take a quick little minute and say, the philanthropist Rockefeller, he said, he was of course one of the rich back in the early days of riches here in America. They asked him, how much is enough? How much is enough? Does anybody know what his answer was? I wouldn't expect. What do you think? Just a little bit more. Exactly right. Just a little bit more. And that is exactly what Satan is wanting to whisper into each of our ears about being content. He's wanting to say just a little bit more, just a little bit more. And I want to turn that around with the help of the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Let's turn that around on Satan and say, we want just a little bit more of the Lord Jesus. We want just a little bit more of pressing on for that prize of the high calling that Paul is talking about here. So I wanted to talk about that in regards to faith. Faith is a simple little thing. We've heard it likened to the Word of God tells us like a mustard seed. Very, very, very small. A little small seed can remove mountains. You young people know these things well. But I want to talk about faith and take up three aspects of it. Three aspects of faith. And I want to do it in regards to Peter. So where is it that I want to go? Matthew chapter 14. And this is all I'm going to talk about. I know it's been a lot that we've had to take in, but I've been thinking about being content but not satisfied. And in Matthew 14, here we have Peter. And I'm going to real quick back up. So Peter, and you know this well, so bear with me as I kind of highlight it again, but Peter denies the Lord three times. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but what did that look like when the Lord turned to Peter and looked at Peter after Peter said, I don't know that man. I don't know that man. And then he said a third time, I don't know that man. What did that look that the Lord gave Peter look like? Okay, so that's one aspect. And then another aspect of Peter that he had in John 21, the Lord brought him all the way back, and he said to Peter, he said, do you love me? And he said it three times again to Peter. And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. And he said again, Peter, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know I love you. And he said it the third time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter, what did he say? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And so keep that in mind as we talk about Peter here. And I want to talk about three aspects of faith. And this is something that I'm just working through in my own life. So if you can bear with me as I use myself as an example of some of my own struggles. But in this chapter that we're going to get the few verses in this chapter 14, there's going to be three aspects. There's going to be a struggling faith, there's going to be a clinging faith, and there's going to be a resting faith. And these three are three faiths that Peter goes through in a very short sequence in this chapter. But they could be interchangeable in your lives, all throughout your life. You want to end up in a resting faith and that confidence. We'll get to it in the third one. But any single one of these are faith. I look out at you young people and I see the youth and energy. And I'm sure a lot of you like to work out. I'm sure a lot of you are into fitness and into winning. And I asked our brother Jim Hyland, actually he had a meeting on faith. And he said, faith is like a muscle. I've asked some of my older brethren throughout the years what they think about that context, that faith is like a muscle. But I think everyone agrees that faith is like a muscle. The more you use it, the bigger it's going to get. And so we've got these three aspects of faith. And keep in mind, in chapter 14, we're not going to go read through it because of time's sake, but the Lord had just fed the 5,000, and he calls his disciple to get on the ship with him to go sail up to the north of Sea of Galilee. And then they get in the ship, and he goes up into the mountain to pray, the Lord does. And a storm comes up, and the ship is out on the sea, and the Lord comes to his disciples. And just pause for a quick minute and think about that. In this time of when the disciples needed something, what was the Lord doing for them? He was up on the mountain praying for them. He is always praying for us. And that's so wonderful to remember that he's praying for us. Okay, but let's get into this here. So Peter, I'll just go right to verse 28. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. So they're on this boat, and they see Jesus coming to them. And Peter says, I want to come to you. And the Lord says, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. This is the struggling faith. Be real with yourself here for a minute, young person. Is there a time in your life where you had a failure? Is there a time in your life where you, as it were, denied the Lord? Maybe you did it twice. Maybe you did it three times. I want to be an encouragement up here, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to fail again. It's okay. It's not how many times you fail. It's how many times you get back up. In Revelation, the beginning of Revelation, we are told over and over about the rewards of the overcomer. Okay, so what does Peter do? He says, he gets his eyes off the Lord and he says, Lord, help me. So that's the struggling faith. Okay, the next one. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. That's the struggling faith. The verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, whereof didst thou doubt? This is the clinging faith. This is like Peter grabbing the hand of the Lord and clinging to his hand, the clinging faith. Is this a different place in your life that you are, young person? Is it a clinging faith that you're going through right now? Did you first have a struggling faith? Maybe it's a clinging faith. And then lastly, we have, and when they were come, verse 32, into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And this is the resting faith. This is where you are safe inside the boat. And what did they do when they were safe inside the boat? They were in the ship and came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. It's a resting faith. And you're going to go through these different faiths in your life. And it's okay. Each one is okay. And maybe you'll have a struggling faith, or maybe you'll have a clinging faith after you've had a resting faith. It's when we get our eyes off the Lord that these happen. And so as you're going through being content in your life, in these days that you live in, where you have more coming across your mind than the common man did 100 years ago in their entire life, are you going to take a chance to trust the Lord? And I want to finish off with the last verse that our brother, I can't remember who it was. I think it was Bill Prost before prayer meeting. He read in Romans chapter 4, and this is the resting faith. He read about Abraham, and he said in verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, where he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's the resting faith. That's the resting faith. Be content, but don't be satisfied. We've had 3 days to be together. We've had 3 days of fellowship. We've had 3 days to learn more of the Word of God. And as you've enjoyed these things, one thing that my father-in-law shared with me years ago, he said, don't let the things that you do know keep you from the things that you don't know. I look out into each of your eyes here today, and I'm sure you have a lot of questions. You're wondering, why do we do it this way? What's going on this way for this reason? So I'm over 12 minutes into this. I'll close. Dave Knowles, some of you young people were out at Indio, and he had a little message for everyone about looking to the Lord. And he had a direction. He had three different people draw a dog fetching a ball, something like that. And each one of those people, they drew it exactly like Dave told them to draw it. It was a dog, and he was going, and he was fetching a ball. But you know what was neat about those three pictures? None of them were the same. None of them were the same. They each drew them in their own way. Your faith that you live out before the Lord, you're going to do it your own way. But if you get it from the Lord, you're going to get it exactly right, like he had in that picture. He gave an illustration of the same dog fetching a ball to six others to draw, but they didn't know. They had to read from the picture before of what they were doing. And by the time they got down to the sixth picture, they had lost some of the things, like the ball, and the dog was still there, but some of the things were no longer there. So again, be content. Remember the things that you know. Use them. Keep them. Hold on to them. But don't let the things that you know keep you from the things that you don't know. Trust the Lord in all that you do. Should I give thanks for the refreshments as well? Okay. Let's just close. Our God and Father, we thank you for these young people. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Paul and his example of how he said, forgetting those things that are behind, the failures, as it were, when Peter denied, and what Paul did in persecuting the church. But he forget those, but pressing on to the high calling, pressing on to glory, Lord. We pray for these young people. We pray for them in their faith, a struggling faith, or a resting faith, or a clinging faith. Help them to find their way resting on you, Lord, in the boat where they can worship and be content. Help us each one to take hold of faith like Abraham of old, to commit it fully to you and to trust you in all that we do. We thank you for these times that we've had over your word. We thank you for each of these young men and young women here tonight. We pray for a blessing for them. We pray for them, for the choices that they make, for the lives that they live. We pray that they would be to your honor and glory. We just give thanks for these refreshments now. Thank you for our local brethren that provided this all. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be together. Pray for our loved ones and our believers around the world that are being persecuted for your name's sake. We just look forward to being home with you, Lord Jesus, and perhaps it will be tonight. Pray a blessing on the night now. In Jesus' name, amen.